Today we are going to begin a brand new series called Build Your Church. And I'm really excited about this series. But before we get started, I want you to help me welcome all of those that are joining us online today. Will you help me, church, greet all of those joining us online? We welcome you. And we want to say a special welcome to Sandra Smith that has been watching us from Dayton, Ohio for the last year and a half. Sandra, so great that you have been joining us in this way. We love and appreciate you and your husband so much that you have joined us in this journey for the last year and a half. And although we don't broadcast every Sunday morning right now because we don't have the production infrastructure to do that on Sunday morning, it is being postponed till Tuesday. So welcome everybody joining us online. But I'm excited about this new series, Build Your Church. And what I first want to make clear is I'm not telling you to build your church. So look at your neighbor and say, it's not your church. This is a proclamation to God saying, Lord, build your church. Amen? Because it's not your church. It's not our church. It's his church. Whoever owns something has authority over it. I don't own his church. Actually, Jesus bought the church with his own blood and his body. And he then has authority over his church. It's not our church. It's his church. Jesus says in Matthew 16 that I will build my church. And he says it with a very possessive language. Jesus says, I will build my church. And so in response, we say, build your church. Lord, you build your church. Now, it is our church in the sense of membership, fellowship, privilege, and responsibility. Responsibility for service and support. But it is always his church. Sometimes even pastors, we get in this habit, and I think we all know what it means, but we say, at my church, we do this. And maybe you think that too. At my church. And I'm so glad that we take great ownership and responsibility of this church. But it's his church. And it's our privilege and responsibility to serve and support his church. So this series is a proclamation of saying, God, would you build your church? Jesus says, I will build my church. And he says, and I have the keys to the kingdom. He says, all authority has been given to me. How much authority does Jesus have? All of it. All authority has been given to me, Jesus says. And then he turned to the disciples. He said, here are the keys to the kingdom. So you build the kingdom. I'll build my church. So Lord, build your church. On one occasion, Jesus took his group of disciples to the region of Caesarea Philippi. I'm not there yet. If you could hold off on the scripture for me. I'm going to set it up. Bump, set, spike. On one occasion, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, where there was about 17 temples built for the worship of pagan Greek gods. There was one particular Greek god in the area of Caesarea Philippi named Pan, P-A-N. Pan was the Greek goat god. The Greek goat god Pan had, and they had this temple built high up upon this rock. The Greek goat god Pan resembled some kind of half man and half goat. Man on top, goat on bottom. Pan was both repulsive and attractive at the same time. which was representing it resembled two conflicting elements of primitive life, which was fear and temptation. This repulsive yet attractive sense of the goat god Pan. Pan was the god of the wild, the wilderness, herds, and shepherds. The Greek word pan means all. So Greek word pan means all, which was really symbolic for this Greek goat god Pan because of all of his personifications of both nature and human nature that this goat god Pan took on. The Greek word pan is also where we get the word panic. It's derived from the same word. The word panic refers to being struck with sudden and contagious fear. And the goat god Pan, being the goat god of the wilderness and herds and shepherds in this Greek mythology, it was in the wild that creating panic was an early method of herding animals and causing forced stampedes. So Pan, after all, he was the god of fear and temptation. Pan was also a very sexually immoral god. So you can imagine that at the temple of Pan, here high on this rock, built up on a rock, it was a form of like today's Las Vegas Strip. But far, far worse. So high up on this rock at the temple of Pan is where they would have the world's biggest festival for the Greek goat god Pan, and it was called Pandemonium. You hear Pan in there. Pandemonium means chaos on earth, order in hell. And there was this great party festival for the goat god Pan, which is basically a week-long orgy, including homosexuality and sexual acts with goats. Yeah, that's Pan. And that high up on this mountain. So on this rock in Caesarea Philippi, there was also a deep hole in the rock where the temple of Pan was built. This hole went deep down into the earth, and there was flowing water down there. And so they thought to themselves that in order to keep Pan happy, which keeps us from getting swallowed up into this deep hole, they would make sacrifices unto goat god Pan, and they would toss those sacrifices down this deep hole in the rock. This deep hole in the rock they considered to be the gateway to the underworld. That this is where the goat god resided, down in this deep pit in the hole of this rock. And so there was fear that if Pan was not satisfied, you could be swallowed up in this hole down into the underworld. So they would make regular sacrifices and regular acts with goats on a regular basis. It's all of this taking place on this rock, on this mount, this temple of Pan. This deep hole, remember, believed to be the gateway to the underworld where the gods resided. It's an actual place, and they called this place the Gates of Hades. And it was here at this location that we have on record Jesus' visit in Matthew chapter 16. So it's here at Caesarea Philippi, on this mountain, on this rock, with pandemonium taking place, that Jesus decides to take his youth group there. Can you imagine? Jesus, where are we going? What are we doing here, Jesus?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Jesus, what are we doing here?
So this is the very location where Matthew 16 is recorded. And now you want to see it. So let's look at it. Matthew 16, verse 13 says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, now imagine where they're standing. He says, who do people say the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Jesus. What about you? He asked. Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. Remember where he's standing. Where is he standing? He's standing on this rock, the temple of Pan, and pandemonium going on. He says, but on this rock, I will build my church. And what? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It says the gates of Hades. The gates of Hades is an actual geological location that Jesus is standing at the moment he says this. Now, there are 18 mentions of the word hell in the Bible. Jesus says about five of them, and there's three different words. Hades, yes, it refers to the underworld, but also remember where Jesus is standing, in the region of Caesarea Philippi. So Jesus is standing on this rock of pandemonium. And he says, yeah, I'm going to build my church. And that right there will not prevail. It will not prevail. Jesus turns to Peter and he says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The word Peter there is the word Petros, and it means a fragment of a rock. Think of a stone or a pebble. He says, you're Peter, a fragment of a rock. But he says, on this Petra, the word for rock there is Petra, which means an immovable mass. On this immovable mass, I will build my church. The immovable mass, the rock that Jesus is saying, he says, remember the question, Peter, who do you say I am? He says, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. He says, I'll build my rock. I'll build my church on that. The rock is this profession. Many theologians call what Peter said the great confession. It is the confession that Jesus is Lord. And it is the rock by which Jesus says, I'll build my church on that confession. That will be a foundation upon what we will build. And this rock, this worldly rock, Satan's playground, the gates of Hades, no big deal. It can't stand. So first thing I want you to know is that Jesus is the rock that the church is built upon. Jesus is the rock the church is built upon. You don't have this scripture in your notes, but Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, what words? Well, Jesus just got done with the Sermon on the Mount. And then he says, and puts these words into practice, is like a man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. And when the storms come in our lives, and the wind beats against the house, the church built upon the rock, that Jesus is the rock of the church, it won't prevail. The church will prevail. So in construction, especially, and the Bible refers to this as well, that there is this cornerstone that is laid. So the bricklayers, they would lay what was called the cornerstone at the beginning of the construction of a building. The cornerstone was to be the spot by which the whole foundation would be started first. this is where we're going to start. And they would lay a cornerstone. And off that cornerstone would be everything else would be measured against the cornerstone. Plumb lines would be drawn from the cornerstone. It was the first piece of the building. In the Bible, hundreds of years before Jesus, prophesied that Jesus was the stone that the builders rejected, but it would end up becoming the cornerstone. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16 says this. Watch this carefully. It says, so this is what the sovereign Lord says. He says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation that the one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. Will never be stricken with panic. And Jesus, standing at pandemonium with panic all around, he says, I'm the rock. This rock of panic, fear, and temptation, you don't have to live this way anymore. Jesus is the rock. So what Jesus would say is that when the world is in panic, in Christ, you can have peace. And Jesus shows up to the epicenter of panic and pandemonium, and he says, I'm the rock. Do you smell what the rock is cooking? My God. The greatest. There is a great, strong foundation in confession. The confession that Jesus is Lord. And when you are faced with fear and temptation, panic, pandemonium, the confession, Jesus is Lord. That's the rock I stand on. And when we face difficulties and crisis and chaos, we can stand on the solid rock and says, I don't care about the panic and the chaos in the world around me. Jesus is Lord. And it can bring a peace when the rocks of this world are shaken with panic. And the second thing I want you to know today is that God wants to grow your church. God wants your church to grow. Did you know that? God wants your church to grow. Again, in Matthew 16, 18, he says, on this rock I will build my church. He wants to build your church. And you all know it, but John 3, 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God wants to grow your church so people don't perish. And it's because of love. In John 3, 36, it says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. So yes, New Life Church, we should grow every year. The early church grew every day. We should see growth every year. Why? Well, watch this. God wants to grow your church because heaven and hell are a reality. There is heaven there is heaven there, and it's occupied with people. There's heaven here, and it's occupied with people. He says, your will be done on heaven and on earth. That heaven would come. And there is hell there, and it's occupied by people. And there's hell here, and it's occupied by people. Don't believe me? If you think about it, there has been days that you've lived in hell. Do you remember your hell days? It's not fun. But God wants to grow our church because heaven is and hell are a reality there and here. There are people in Kokomo that are living in hell. Torture, fear, temptation, darkness, despair, depression. They're living in hell. And God, he came so that they don't have to perish into an eternal hell, but so they can have life and have life more abundantly and ultimately live for eternity in heaven with him. So why is it so important that New Life Church grows every year? Because heaven and hell are a reality. People's eternity is at stake. There are families that have hell going on in their homes, and there needs to be deliverance from that, and heaven will come to earth and bring life and bring hope and bring peace and prosperity. God wants to grow your church because God loves people. God loves people, and he wants none to perish. How many? He wants none to perish. God wants to grow your church. Remember Matthew 6:18, it said, "And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." So my third thing today is that nothing has ever or could ever stop the church. Nothing has ever or could ever stop building the church. Jesus shows up to the devil's playground, the epicenter of Satan's party. This rock, this temple of panic, pandemonium, godless acts going on all around. Jesus shows up. He says, "This cannot even prevail. It can't win." He said, "There's a different rock, and upon it I will build my church. Even pandemonium can't stop it. No fear, no temptation, no power of hell, no power of evil will stop from building my church." So I have a question for us today, and that is, where in your life are you facing hell right now? Because the gates of Hades, is still active today. It's wherever you face your greatest fear or your greatest temptation. The gates of Hades. It's a place of death. The gates of Hades at Caesarea Philippi was a place of incredible manipulation, immorality, darkness, the worst of evil and temptation. So if you want out of the pandemonium in your life, it's time to get off that mountain and time to get on the solid rock. And it's through a great confession that Jesus is Lord, and everything else can build upon that. The confession that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And just a couple verses later, it says, "For all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Here's what I know, church. There are people living in pandemonium today. They need saved. They need rescued. These are those that are living in fear, anxiety, those living facing harsh temptations. And Jesus is saying, if you come to this rock, the rock of a confession that I will be your Lord, anyone who calls on my name will be saved. And he'll take you down from that mount, and he'll set your feet on a solid rock upon which everything else can be built upon. Again, Jesus looks at the epicenter of fear and temptation. He says, it won't prevail if I'm the rock. Let's all stand together this morning. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, just you, just God. Just you, just God. Zoom out your perspective a little bit. Where are you standing? Where in your life are you facing hell here and now? Because Jesus' invitation to you is still the same. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Because based upon your confession reveals your foundation. And I wonder if someone here today is ready to take this first step of building a strong life, of building a life a new way. And the first step is you've got to get the foundation right. You've got to set the cornerstone. You've got to build it upon a rock. And that rock, that first step, is the confession that Jesus is Lord. Maybe someone today needs to just finally decide, I'm going to make you the Lord of my life. Have your way. And I'm going to surrender my ways. I'm going to surrender all my fear, all the temptation, and I'm just going to just go ahead and proclaim, Jesus is Lord. And if you're here today and maybe you need to make a profession, a confession that Jesus is Lord of your life, maybe for the first time or maybe for the first time in a long time, you can have that opportunity right here, right now. You can do it right here, right now. You don't have to earn this. He'll take you right now. As messy as your life is, as bad as the fear is, as bad as the temptation is, you don't have to go fix it first. You just got to put your feet on the solid rock, which is a great confession of, okay, Jesus, you're my Lord now. I invite you to take that step with me in response to Jesus' question, who do you say I am? And if you're here today and you know that you need to, for the first time or the first time in a long time, say, I want Jesus to be my Lord. Real quick, with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just slip up a hand so I know who we're praying for? Jesus, I need you to be my Lord. I need my feet upon the rock that is Jesus to rescue me from all fear and temptation. Yes, let's pray. Lord, we confess today. Come on, church, let's all together, let's just begin to confess. Jesus, you are Lord of my life. May you be the solid rock upon which our lives are built, our families are built. God, may you be the solid rock upon which we find hope and security, that you are a sure thing. You are a firm foundation. And God, I pray that today people would step up off the mount of pandemic, of pandemonium, and of fear, and of temptation, and choose today to make you the rock and the Lord of their lives. God, we confess that you are Lord. We believe in our heart, God, you raised Jesus from the grave. And by faith, God, we know that all who call on your name are saved. So Lord, together here at New Life, we say, now would you build your church. Build your church on the foundation that Jesus is Lord. Panic is not. Fear is not. Temptation is not. Jesus is.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.